Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's nothing new to you folks. And looking at some areas in God's Word as far as Thanksgiving, and I know we've already sung a hymn about it, and we've sung some choruses about it that give thanks and thank you, Father, for all that you've done. And I know I'm talking to the choir here because I know you guys thank him day in and day out, daily, many, many times. But as we think about these things, it is encouraging to know that we come to that time of Thanksgiving. And so we want to run through just a few areas of the Bible and some scriptures and what it's about and kind of frame it that way so that we've got kind of a thought process going into our Thanksgiving. It's just like Christmas service. I have a Christmas service here. Everybody knows about the birth of Jesus and all that and, you know, the whole process. So it's like here again, you know, but it's what we want to do is reflect and always keep it at the forefront of us of, wow, no matter how many Christmases you go through, the birth and the manger and the process, and Easter is the same way, what he went through and going to the cross. It's always the powerful thing that even for us that have been in it maybe for many, many years or decades, it still should find its way into our lives to where it encourages us and excites us. Amen. Because it's always new and it's just vibrant. And so we look at Thanksgiving, and it's the aspect of praise that gives thanks to God for what he has done for us. Ideally, Thanksgiving should spring from that of a grateful heart, being grateful. But it's also, it's a requirement of believers. And regardless of your attitude, it does, you know, you got to thank him no matter what you're going through, really. And even like people that are in sicknesses and things, that, you know, you talk to them and their faith and how grateful they are that they still stand strong in that. We think of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything give thanks." The New Century Version there would say, "In everything give thanks, no matter what happens." Now, if we can get to that level of give thanks no matter what happens, you've almost arrived. You've hit that level of, okay, God, you're my God. No matter how good or how bad it gets, I give thanks. Because you are there and you're still there for me. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks." The Amplified says, "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful with and give, be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus." And Christ Jesus is the revealer and the mediator of that will. And so we've got a powerful force there of Jesus, okay? He's there for us. We've got a powerful force there of God as God. And so we can be thankful even going through some hard times. In verse 18, it would look at this. "God works in all things for the good of those." We see that in Romans 8:28. "Now, for those that are called according to..." We got to be careful there that, you know, you got to look and read that whole thing, Romans 8:28, because it does sound very encouraging, and it is encouraging, and it should be, and it is for us, for those that are called according to his will and purposes. Are you called? Yes. Are you following his will and his purposes for your life? If you're saying yes, then all things work together for you, you know. But you got to fall into that you're following his will and the purposes for your life. It's not your will, and it's not your purpose of what you want to do. But, so we should give thanks to God in every good or bad circumstance. He is in control, and he allows both good and bad times to come to us. But in the end, the result is always to be a blessing to us. We believe in God. We that believe in God can and should thank him for all that happens. I know it's one of those times. Remember I talked about it when that nurse was going to say, "Oh, I got a question for you." It's like you get kind of ready about, well, if God is so good and God is so loving and God is so powerful, and why is all this other upheaval going on in our world? And a lot of people don't realize and understand that we are living in a fallen world. This is not the Garden of Eden. It started out a lot better than where we're at now, and so the repercussions of what took place in the Garden of Eden is what we're dealing with on a day-in and day-out basis. But thank God, even though we're dealing with the fallen Eden, the fallen world, but God is with us in it, and he's there with us to help us through it. And so for a child of God, all things work together for good. Even though you're going through terrible times, you've got to believe you're going to go through it and you're going to come out of it and you're going to be blessed one way or the other. There's many times and things that come up in your life and things, I don't care if it's family or jobs or career or money or finances, you just got to lay it out there and say, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I have faith and trust in you. And I'm going to trust you. And what I've got to do now in my spirit is I've got to rely upon that trust and step back to the point of saying, I'm going to thank you now on how you're going to take care of it. Because I'm a child of yours. And I'm calling for you, Lord, to take this. Cast your burden on the Lord. For he what? Careth for you. And it's okay to do those things. Be grateful to God for all things. Ephesians 5:20. Let's turn there. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God, or I can just read it to you, the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks here where Paul is telling the Christians always to give thanks to God the Father. This can be by songs or any other way. There is only one way to obey this instruction, that is to have a complete faith in God. We've got to get our faith built up. When your faith is strong, you will stand strong. When you are strong in your faith, nothing that happens to you will cause you to fall or fall back or leave. It actually should, if you're strong in faith, it should actually get you a little bit more tighter or more closer to or develop more into your faith to say, okay, Lord, here we go. And by faith, I see this accomplished. By faith, I see you intervening. By faith, things are going to get better. Now, even if my wife were to ask me, well, Tim, how's it going to get better? I would have to be honest and say, I don't know. I really don't have a clue at this point. But I know that if I look to my God and by faith, and it's by his will, and I'm called to his purpose and his will in my life, that he has not left me nor he has not forsaken me. We do not praise God for evil things. We praise him for the benefit that will cause from them. So, yeah, you're not, well, let's praise God because we got, you know, a terrible sickness or we got this going on. No, I'm praising him for the answer to it. I'm praising him for the opposite of evil. I'm praising him for the good of it and how it's going to come out of it. Genesis 5:50-20 says, the things that had happened were part of God's plan. Joseph realized that, and so he did not blame his brothers. Instead, he praised God. So you go back to, you know, the selling of him and his brothers and what they wanted to do and getting money for him, and he didn't blame God. He praised God. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, it doesn't help when you blow it and this wind blows right back in your face. In whatever you do, it says in the Easy Read version, say, everything you say, our deed, everything you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, number one, you're probably going to be pretty well straight and narrow to what his will is going to be because you're not going to do what you want to do. I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to follow him and accomplish what he wants. When a person becomes a Christian, his or her whole life changes. Did your life change when you came to Christ? You know what, even today, is your life continuing to change even with your walk with Christ? You've been with him for 6 months, 6 years, 20 years, 25 years. Our life today is still developing. It's still growing. We're still seeing the benefits of the things of his salvation and his blood for us. We're still seeing the benefits of what God, how much he loves us. And he still is helping us and still here for us. We may have, if we've been with it for 25 years, seen a lot of his blessings. Thank God for that. We've also seen a lot of some trials and tribulations. Well, thank God we came through those. But we're at this point in time, no matter where we're at, that we know that, you know, life has changed and my life continues to change. Don't stop changing your life and the things of God. Don't get to that level of saying, well, I've done this, I've read this, I've done that, blah, 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 blah. I've been all part of these ministries and things. Now I can stop right here. No, you keep going, don't you? Those are all maybe just preparation for really what God's got for you to do now in the latter 10 years of your life or the latter 25 years of what he's got for you. A lot of that beginning the last 20 years back was just preparation. We never know, do we? My goodness, there's some people, well, you just have to go to the Old Testament and look how many Moses, Joshua, all these people lived and what developed after they were 80 years old. So I'm looking at that, you know, you guys that are hitting 80 or right around there, you're just coming into your stride. Us babies, I like that because I'm still a child. I've not got there yet. I've still got time, you know. So we got to look at that. And again, God's time is not our time. You know, a year is like a thousand days, a day is like a thousand, and a thousand like a day. All of God's concepts of times and what he's got for us, for you individually, may not go along with your calendar of 365 days. May not tie into 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. We're at the edge now of just, we can see already 2016 coming. We're only a month and a few weeks out of 2016. But already God is there, and already I hope we're planning, I hope you're planning, I'm planning to go into 2016 even more fired up for the things of God. Because who knows what lies ahead? All I know with God, it's going to be good. To the point of whatever he takes me to. And if it's bad in that time of goodness, he's going to be there to help me get through that. And then he's going to help me learn from that. And he's going to give me strength to get through that. And my faith is going to build up or whatever the case might be. But we just have to be already looking forward, because whether or not you want it to come, 2016 is going to come. I know some of us would like to pull the sheets and the bed over, the covers over our head and just stay in bed and think like, oh, it's all taken care of now. It's okay. The days go on. Life continues. Things will come up. Good things and bad things. But I believe that with my God, I'm going to have more good things. Amen. I'm going to have more blessings. And by this time next year, I'll be thanking him for another great year, Lord, that you've brought me through, that you've brought my family through, that you've blessed my family, you've blessed my kids, you know, grandkids, whatever the case might be. Bless the church, Lord, that we're in here. We, talking just quickly, a side note here, got the plow in for the parking lot here. So, you know, as usual, we always wait until the last minute, but you know, they're talking about snow, so I thought, well, Friday, I better do something. So I had to put the stakes out there for plowing, and then I really had to call the guy to see if he was still going to plow for us. And it's a blessing that they do it, and they don't charge us no matter what. They've not charged the church in decades for plowing out here. It's a family that just passes it down. They're passing the baton because their parents had attended Believer's Faith Fellowship probably back in the 80s. You know, well, that's a blessing, you know. Talk to churches out there where they get their lots plowed. My goodness, it could easily be $100 to $150, $200 a shot or whatever. You know, it just depends. So anyway, I called and I talked to Art, and I said, Art, I'm sorry. I said, I only call you when I hear it's going to get ready to snow. And he starts laughing, and he's busy driving some other jobs that he's got. And so we were talking. And then we talked about the field out back, because he had cut it last year back and he could have it for feed for his goats and animals that he's got. But he says that, you know, the first time he cut it, I was so full of bad stuff. Just, it was bad. He says the weeds were terrible weeds, you know. He said, I went ahead and cut it and took it to the farm. But he said, I just threw it out back because he says, I didn't think the goats were even going to want to drink or eat it. Because he says, it was just terrible stuff. It didn't look good. So he let the goats out, and where did the goats go? They go back to that. He says, you know what? They cleaned that stuff up like it was like the best stuff around. He says, they ate that and ate that. He says, I was astounded. So we're talking, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I told Art, you know what it is? I said, that out there, I believe it is kingdom property of God. 10 acres, this 10-acre spot right here is heaven on earth. This is God's. We give it to him, we pray to him about it, we ask his protection over it, we ask him to have his way on this kingdom property here on earth. So I said, you know what, being that it's God's kingdom here, I said, even the weeds are blessed by God and they taste good. He started laughing. But you think of it, though. But even that's really in concept of thoughts. That's truth. Even the bad things blessed by God will turn out to be good things. And you won't. How do you understand it? How do we know? I know goats eat anything, I would think. It's like, I don't know. How do you know if they're going to be that particular? But, you know, he says, man, they ate it up good. But the blessings of God and how God takes care of things. I mean, that's just a short little story there, but that opened my eyes to some more things of God. And what I kind of, you know, was chuckling with him about, it really made me like to stop and go, wow, God, you are a powerful God. And I do, honestly, I do believe that those things that God puts his hand on, to us, they might be looking bad and weeds, but God will bless to the point of it's perfect stuff. Well, we do those things when we pray and bless our food. Missionaries go overseas and they're eating food they never even heard of, or they look at how it's prepared and it's like, oh my gosh, where's the sanitary conditions in that? And they got to eat it because you don't want to offend the people. And so you just, if you have to do prayer within your own spirit, say, Lord, just sanctify and bless this food, keep out impurities, whatever. God does that. That's our God. That's another area to thank him for. We sometimes in America, I think we just run through the blessing of our lunch and dinners and all that, just like, well, you know, bless food, thank God, amen. You know, we got to put some thought in it, man. Because even now, there's things in our food here that we don't know about. So, anyway. So when a person becomes a Christian, his or her whole life changes. Christ is now at the center of that person's life. Christians should show what Christ is like. They do this as they obey him. Christ gives them strength to live the right way. Christ has made them God's friends. That would be in, I think, 1:21-22 in Colossians. And then so Christians should always thank God for what he has done for them. We need to obey him. He gives us that strength. And people are going to see him in you. And then they're going to open up that conversation. Why are you like this? Why are you like that? How do you stay so positive? How do you, whatever the case might be. And that's an opening thing to say, let me tell you about my God. We should be grateful, especially for his work of salvation, especially, right, in the sanctification that we have. Romans 7:25, you're going to read that. Romans 7:25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. New Living Testament translation would say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, you become a slave to sin. You know, it's that battle of the spiritual realm. But you will win out eventually if you allow it to develop and if you stay close to God. And ask him to give you that strength to get away from that. You've got to beat your flesh into submission, guys. You got to stomp it down sometimes because it wants to do things that you don't want to do, but it does. You got to stop it. It wants to eat things that you shouldn't eat, and you got to stop it, whatever the case might be. It's that battle right there. But you can do it. You can be victorious in it because of a child of God and the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In verse 25, we're talking in Romans, says Paul is emphasizing in his moral struggle. This inward struggle with sin was as real for Paul as it is for us. So when you feel overwhelmed or confused by sin's appeal, allow Paul's example of thanking God that he has given us the freedom through Jesus and let his power give you that victory over sin. Many times we want to have the victory over the sin. We want to have the victory over whatever that weakness is in our life. We want to have the answer for it. I want to be able to do it. I want it by my power. I want it by my strength. I'm a man or I'm a strong woman. I should be able to do it. I can control it. I can take it over. I can do it. You can't do it. Not if you're in this flesh. Your flesh will eventually overtake you. It'll happen. But if you know already on the onset that I am a child of God and I'm going to turn over my weaknesses to him and ask for his strength to come in and ask for his abilities to work through me, then there's going to be some positive results in that particular area of your life. Do you believe that? whatever it might be. It might be a slow progression of change, whatever the case is, but turn it over to God. Don't try to do it yourself. And when you turn it over to God, thank Him for Him being there to take it from you. And that you're going to say, Lord, this is yours. I'm tired of dealing with it. We've got to surrender that. We got to get that out because we're just keeping ourselves in that spin, the proverbial spinning and chasing our tail if we think we can do these things that affect us in the flesh, our mind, our emotion, whatever it might be. We allow our mind to do these things. We got to set your mind upon Him. You got to renew your mind upon Him. Got to get your heart to where your heart's not hard. You know, we talk about that, you know, to where it's pliable, that He can put His love and put His word into your heart and power you up that way. My goodness. In Colossians 1:3-5, talks about faith in Christ. So we're talking about this area of, you know, being grateful, especially for the salvation and sanctification. It says, we give thanks, verse 3, Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope. New Living says, the confident hope, which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard in the New Living, which you've heard, which you expect. We've got to be expecting. We've got too many people, too many in our churches that they don't have hope and they don't have expectations of the things what God is capable of doing or what God has already done. We don't understand it. Why is that? Because it doesn't make sense to our mind's eye. It doesn't make sense to my thinking. It doesn't make sense to the way I was brought up. It doesn't make sense to the books that I read from man. Well, that's probably why. The things that God does, it talks about in His Word, the things that God is about, it will confound the wise. Wisdom has a hard time understanding the things of God. Now, it's not to say that we don't have wisdom with God, and in the counsel of many, there's wisdom, and we want that wisdom, and there will be wisdom there, but we've got to be careful that, is it coming from the cardinal side? Is it coming from the world side of wisdom? If it's the world side of wisdom, it will try to generally, probably, mostly contradict the things of God, because the things of God don't make sense to it, because it falls in that line of faith. Seeing it even though you don't have it. Believing it even though it's not happened yet. So it says, which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard our expectations before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard, expect before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And that's what's so powerful about this gospel. I don't know why people don't get into it more. I don't know why people don't believe it more. I don't know why they think it's just partly more of a storybook. It's more of a history book. This is a living book, the living Bible, the living word for you today. If you're living, you better have some living word. If you're living in this day and time now, or day and time 50 years from now, or 500 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you better have this living word in you. And I can stand here and praise God that 500 years from now, whatever civilization, whoever could be here, they would be reading the same things that we're reading today. Amen. Because we're reading the same things that happened 500 years ago, or 3,000 years ago, whatever the case might be. His word goes on. That His word doesn't change. What He said, He meant, and what He meant, He said. There's no need to decipher it out and try to figure it out, well, because the way society is now, trying to pick apart His word and the things of moralities, Lord help us in another 50 years what they're going to pick out of here and say, well, we understand this word better than what Jesus did. Well, we understand God better than what God thought He meant back then. They'll be doing that. They will try to water this down. They will try to make this of non-existence. They will make this as a fairy tale. They will say, oh, you believe that? You're one of them? I guess you believe in Snow White and the Three Bears and Goldilocks. And I would say, they weren't real. They were when I was a kid. Anyway. It's like you talked, you thought as a child, now you grow up. You got to change. You got to be listening and believing these things and know the truth. Paul talking about hope, talking about, you know, that hope, because of that hope, that confident hope it talked about in verse 5 of Colossians 1:5. Paul's talking about that hope is the security of what believers have, our future destination, our future destiny, and our salvation. Oh my goodness, we are a people. Oh my goodness, we are a people of hope. I've got hope. I've got faith. I've got the strength. I've got what it just all that in you just develops within you and helps you. Amen. I mean, just to think of the hope that you have. My goodness. And we'll have to not get through all this that I thought. Let's see here. We ought to thank God. I'll bypass that. We ought to thank God in anticipation of his answering our prayers. When you pray, do you already thank him for what he's going to answer? Or do you pray hoping, well, I hope you hear this, Lord. You know, we have prayers for people, and just an instance with this family in our church now going through this health situation. It's like, but I haven't lost hope. And I'm talking to this young man. He's not lost hope, you know. He's still there. He still calls God, God. He still calls God his God. He still says God has a plan. He says it's still in God's hands no matter what happens. That's what we need. We have to have that understanding. But we also thank God in anticipation of his answering our prayers. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. And we are a people of anxiousness. You've got to, for those people way back when, you know, when it used to be Black Friday, you know, after Thanksgiving, and they'd open up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, people would camp out. You had to be anxious to line up there and stay in tents. So we are a people of anxiousness. We, got to be there. But it says in God's word, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I know one time, and this goes several years back, that there was a Black Friday special or whatever, one of the stores, and it was Walmart. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty neat. But it's like, well, I'm not going to go in there that early for that. That's ridiculous. It's one of those things, really. You just say, well, Lord, you know what? If that's for me and you want me to have it, it'll be there when I get there 3 days from now, 4 days from now. I'm not going to rush in there. I walk into the electronics department, and I'm looking through the back aisle, and there's a back end cap, and it was this electronic equipment that I was looking at and thought about. And I look at it and go, oh my gosh, it says on the tag, you know, Black Friday special or something like that, you know. And it was still ringing up because it was a special code on it. It was still ringing up at that special price even like the week afterwards. I said, well, thank you, Lord, you know. But that's what we've got to have in faith and hope and understanding. We don't need to run to and fro in this world just because the world has a sale. You know? And they'll get you. The world, you know, what are they doing? They're dangling that carrot of money. Money, money, money. Save money. And they're only going to get there and they're going to say, well, we have a crowd of 100 people and we only had 10. Well, that tells you what happened. There's a lot of people that were like fighting over it. I mean, how sad it is and how true it is that, you know, we as a society have gotten to, you know, well, this is almost like a Romans-type thing, like the den of the lions and all that. It's almost like the Black Friday things when you think a few years back where they had these specials and, you know, actually people were killed. People were trampled because they fell and got trampled or whatever. It's just like, can you believe as a society, and we are a society of richness and we've got everything you need, you know? And it's like we get so bonkers over stuff like that we are like a herd of cattle. Like, you know, get out of my way. And somebody falls down. Nobody stops to lift them up. They just trample them and they die. Wow. Who would have thought in America when you got so much plentifulness that people are, because of the money, because of the special. In the New Living it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. And we'll end with this. It says that Paul speaks about the greatness and the wonder of God. We live in a world where God is at the head of everything. Amen. Is God at the head of your life? Is God at the head? Have you? And he will only be there if you allow him and you set him there. And you say, here you are, God. You're the head of my life. You're the head of my family. You're the head of this ministry. You're the head of whatever I'm a part of and whatever you want me in, it's yours. You can take this weed out here and you can just bless it to the point where animals will eat it and think it's the top grade AAA best, Lord. Man, look at it and think it's like, oh, that's terrible stuff. That'll just be burnt, you know. But don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. And it talks here, Paul speaks about the greatness and the wonder of God. We live in a world where God is at the head of everything. This is what Christians believe. God is in control of everything. Paul's advice is to turn your worries into prayers. And if you want to worry less, pray more. If you want to worry less, pray more. One more time. If you want to worry less, pray more. God's peace is different from the world's peace. And you can look at that in John 14:27, where it says, Jesus stated that his peace is not like the world's. Amen. We find that true peace is not found in, the world say, well, you just got to think positive. You know, peace is not found in positive thinking or good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. When you know that God is in control, you will have peaceful thinking. You will have good thoughts. You will have all that. But don't let that be, just think as you want and it'll happen. No. You've got to walk in and you got to believe it. You got to look, God is there. You pray about it. You turn it over to him. Amen. And all these things that we've talked about even this morning in a brief, short time is thanksgiving, thanking him for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We want to wait upon you as we wrap this up for your giving as well, for the missions and tithe and offerings that you would sow into the ministry here. Thank you for your faithfulness and support of God's kingdom and how things are accomplished here. It's only by that of the grace of God and God's hand. And praise God for that. Let me pray over that and we'll just go from there. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, as we come to a time of giving, of returning back that, a portion that you've given us, Lord. We're only given a small portion, really, Lord, in the aspects of things back to you. But, Lord, you will bless it and you will increase it to meet every need that needs to be met by this tithe and offering that's taken today. In that same respect, Lord, as those that are giving willfully and desiring to, Lord, to be a blessing to you, Lord, to follow your word, you will bless what they have. You will bless some of those that are at 10%, you're going to bless this 10% that they give, and then you're going to bless the 90% that they keep, and it's just going to multiply and magnify itself to meet every need out there, Lord. How does that work? And we don't know, and I don't need to know other than it's you, God, and how you work and how you bless and the power that you have. And I thank you, Father. Lord, I don't need to know all the inner workings of how things work with you. I just need to know you and trust you and put my hope upon you and my faith. Even when I don't see it, when I don't even think it's possible. But if it's something that you've put within me, Lord, it's something that I can go with, that I can run with, and I can say, Lord, have your way and make a way where there seems to be no way. We think of that with Randy even, Lord, looking at jobs and housing, Lord. We just continue to lift up Randy to you, Lord, that you will bless him and open up opportunities there. Father, we lift up and we lift up our brother.